You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
You believe he's in this place? God's been on the move. We've had some healings. We've had some people touched and changed. Now I'm going to preach to you. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Pray for Jared and Helen. I think they're on their way back today from their anniversary trip. I want you to pray for Trisha's dad. He's in the hospital. How many people know that God still moves? Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, and they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, who asked alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now I want you to notice verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. There's one word. He said, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Peter and John weren't posing for pictures. They weren't signing autographs or books. They were going to pray. I don't know if you're hearing me. And the Bible says that they were restrained. See, he stopped them. He held them up. They would have been gone. It's kind of different with us, isn't it? We pose and take pictures. Because we've done something. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4, verse 7. Should be easy if you're there. When they had a set, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which is set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, oh boy, what a genealogy. Stupid but mighty. What a reversal we've had in this world today. Educated and empty. You want me to tell you something else? We can spell, but we can't grab hold of evil and get it out of our churches. No, I'm going to preach to you today. The Bible says they marveled and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You want me to tell you how they're going to know that you're different? It's because they find out when you've been with Jesus. If you ain't been with Jesus, you ain't different than anybody else. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." I don't know that I have a message for you today. I definitely don't have a sermon. I got lots of notes. But I have some thoughts, and God gave me a sentence. And this is it. My refuge is unexplainable, but undeniable. And my people should be too. I'm not done. He said, "Tell my people, challenge my people. It is my desire for them to enter into a place where the things among them are unexplainable, yet undeniable." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you touch me today, and I do a good job, Father. And I'm not long-winded, but I get done what you've asked me to do. And I pray, God, that you move on this group of people and let your presence be in this place, Father. Lord, I pray right now that you set them on fire. We need the blaze of the Holy Spirit to come in this place, Lord, and to move and to change and to transform and to fill. Lord, right now, these people can't go home the way they came. They can't go home in the same condition. They can't go home broken and in need. Lord, right now, I pray that you fill their need. And if there be anybody in here that doesn't know you, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they hear your word and they accept your word and they're saved. In Jesus' name, everybody said, praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to make you preach with me today. I sang when you sang, and I raised my hands when you raised your hands. And if you're going to jump to your feet for a guitar, you ought to spin on your head for a preacher. Music will make you feel better, but preaching will save you. That's what the Bible says. Preaching will change you. Preaching will knock you down and let God speak to you in ways that you've never been spoke to before. It's a transforming power, amen? Listen, it's a regenerative force that changes you. It's the nature of God. Listen, I don't want to be up here acting like it up, but I'm going to tell you this. I'll praise Jesus wildly, and I'll praise Jesus dramatically, because he's holy and righteous, and he's worthy of your praise. We need the power that can't be explained but can't be denied. Amen. I'm crazy. You ought to be crazy too. I'm saved. Are you saved?
Yes.
Amen. So we should act like saved people. We ought to get excited when they talk about Jesus. We ought to worship, and we ought to praise, and we ought to lift him up, and we ought to call on the name of Jesus, because we know he's going to heal, and he's going to change, and he's going to transform life. That's the God that I serve. Everything in me needs to leave everything on this platform this morning. The radio needs to hear us. Yes. Yes. Oh, we pay all this money to be on the radio. And I know it's because you guys think that I think I'm a big shot. I ain't nothing without the Lord. But I'll tell you this. If one person can hear the word of God, oh, it's worth it. If one person will be saved, I'm telling you right now, it's worth it. Why? Because he is so mighty. He ripped me up out of the place that I was when no one could do it. Listen, I didn't have the understanding and the mindset to do it. I was stuck in my condition. But Jesus Christ picked me up, and he made me whole. He changed my language, and he changed my heart, and he changed my attitude. And God wants to speak to you. Nobody's going to take it away from me today. I've decided to follow Jesus. You know the old song, "I have decided"? I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm after him. I'm hot on his trail. I want to know what he knows. Amen. My refuge is unexplainable but undeniable. And my people should be too. Oh, I didn't steal this from a CD.
And I didn't get it from somebody's goofy book. The presence of God spoke to me. My refuge is unexplainable. My refuge is undeniable. And listen, when we start acting like a church and we start allowing God to do what he does, we'll be unexplainable, yet undeniable. We've been talking about revival in this church for months. Talking about all this stuff. And all that's good and fantastic. But God sent me here today to tell you there are too many churches. You hear me? There are too many churches and too many services around this area where everything can be explained. When you step into the presence of God, there are things that should not be able to be explained. There should be healings occurring. There should be things happening. There should be people moving that never moved before. There should be people that used to sit like a stone that can't keep their hand down because God has touched them and transformed them and made them whole. I'm telling you right now, he is wonderful and mighty and holy and right. Well, Pastor, you're just being dramatic. Yes, I'll be dramatic for him because he saved my soul. Lord, help me. There are many churches and choirs with organs and pianos. There are people with talent. There are churches with all kinds of talent sitting on the church pew. They got this and they got that, and they got good programs, and they got what they think is good church. But I'm going to tell you this, I've been praying that Renovate Life is something that the church world can't explain. It's something that the sinner can't explain. Now that can't just be on me. That's got to be on you too. You got to want the presence of God in your life. You can't just sit on the church pew and say, I'm saved. We've done enough of that for too long. We need to get out and declare who he is and disciple and grow and say when someone's broken, I know the Savior of the world. Lord, help me. We ought to pray till something erupts. We ought to pray till there's a burning fire. We ought to pray until there's cinders coming down in this place. I'm telling you right now, we've got to set the church ablaze. Listen, the devil is on the move. Listen, Satan is working. The spirit of Antichrist is upon us. He's already here. But the church of God has to shake themselves and see that God wants to move more than you want him to move. Now hear me. Which great wizard among us can explain what's going on today? Who can explain the rapes and the murders? Who can explain all the abortions and the perversion and alphabet soup and the injustice and the corruption and the government, society in general? Who can explain the immorality? You know, we used to just talk about cussing and drinking in church. But now there's so many things going on. Who could explain the issues with our nation? Who could explain or who could have predicted that Russia would have such an upheaval and Ukraine would be at war with them? Who could explain the woke? Who could explain the who could explain the conservatives? I'm going to tell you why people are acting unexplainable. Fashion. They'd given themselves over to the spirit of Antichrist. And the evil is working among them. Oh, you're missing it. Their actions are declaring their union with evil spirits. Oh, Pastor, I'm not into the heebie-jeebie. That's the problem. Because the heebie-jeebies already came after you. I want to be unexplainable. I want to be undeniable. What about you? Are you just going to sit on the church pew when someone calls you and they say, I need you to pray? You're going to pray a 5-second prayer and write prayed in your text message? Because we are people of prayer. We should be constantly praying. You should have a list of people you're praying for, and you should be marking things off that list and saying, God healed, God delivered, God set free. This person was in jail, but we prayed, and God spoke, and it came through, and now they're out. It's time to call on the refuge, Jesus, and let the unexplainable erupt like a blaze of fire, You hear me? Oh, you're not going like this. Our generation is cursed by the explainable, the provable, the science behind it, the fact. No, I'm just a preacher. And I've never seen these issues in our generation before. Our movement has fallen. The Church of God has fallen because we think we've got to explain everything to the broken and everything to the weak and everything to the people that don't know God. Listen, the Bible says that He is a mighty force and that we don't have to explain nothing. We just got to tell them Jesus loves them and then show that love to them. We've gone to great lengths to prove and to validate and to lock up. People in prisons of testing, science and fact. I was reading through the Bible the other day and the Lord hit me. We've been cursed by modern day Nadabs and Abihus. They've concocted their own form of fire and their own form of religious flavor, and we're following it everywhere we go. And listen, men that are not men of God are being put into positions that are godly positions, but they're not godly men. We don't need no more paraded flesh of somebody that wants to be something they're not. We need God to come down. We need a transformation of our soul. We need to get the evil out and let God move like He moves, because God's the one that changes and God's the one that transforms. Can anybody hear me this morning? We don't need any more blessed talent. We need old-fashioned, oh, I feel like an antique talking to you. We need old-fashioned heavenly fire. We need people to spit and slobber and scream and throw themselves on the floor and cry and say, oh, God, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of someone to change me because I can't do it myself. We need a blaze of fire. A blaze of heavenly fire to fall on this place. Oh God, where are you at today? We're calling on you. Come on, church, just sit there if you want to, but I'm going to praise Him. God, we need you. Stay with me for a moment. We have programs of flesh with religious overtime. We are overtone. We masquerade. Carnal counterfeiters, music with no message and message with no miracle, Pentecostal pimps running around, people around us saying the day of supernatural is over, the day of the miracle has passed. I'm going to tell you what Acts chapter 2 verse 17 said. John, you put it up on the board. Listen, and it shall come to pass in the last days. That's where you're at, saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Perry, the Bible says you'll see visions. Oh my God, I ain't done with you yet. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And my servant and upon my handmaidens I will pour out my spirit. Those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to be as kind as I can be. You can sit in your chair. I didn't mean to get y'all stirred up at once. I want to be as kind as I can be, but I'm going to tell you, puke on every spirit that says the supernatural is not for today. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's Beelzebub and Satan trying to talk to you and get in your mind. I'm sick of us allowing him to war in our mind, because Jesus should already be there. Jesus wants to heal. My refuge wants to save. He wants to baptize. He wants to deliver. He wants us to speak in tongues. He wants us to ingest the power of God. He wants us to move like Christian people and act like Christian people and talk like people of God. We live in a day where everything must be explained. Everything's got to be validated. We got to have 14 scriptures, 26 translations, and a whole bunch of history to back it up. You know, if John the Revelator was waiting on scripture and verse, he would have never got into the Spirit on the Lord's day. He did that on his own. He did that through prayer. He did that through spending time with God. You know what the problem with the church is we're talking about spending time with people that don't spend time. Now, I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the church. And if you think that I'm talking to the person next to you, you better point at you, because I'm talking to you. We don't need Hollywood. We don't need theatrics. We need a church to have Jesus. A Jesus encounter that they can't explain. I'm going to get nasty. When is the last time you acted in a way that you couldn't explain? When is the last time that God moved on you so much that when you left the church, oh, help me, that you couldn't get over it? You know, it was something that was on you that you just couldn't seem to get over. If we're leaving church and we're not having those encounters with God, we're wasting our time. I want God to speak to you in a way that you can't get over it. I want it to be unexplainable and undeniable. It's not about a little fat fella in a red suit. That's me. It's about Jesus Christ speaking to you and changing your life and making you whole. When is the last time you acted in a way you couldn't explain? Well, Pastor, in 2003, I was dancing on the bar stool. Well, if you danced on the bar stool, why ain't you dancing for Jesus? Amen. You got 16 people in the church that'll act like a bunch of wackos, and everybody else, well, they're word people. What's Jesus, the word? We don't know Jesus as long as we're acting in the flesh. I don't want to have a bad spirit. Normally I pray over the message, but I don't want to have a bad spirit, because this is something hard to ingest. I've prayed and I've fasted and I've wept and I've snorted and I've cried and I've laid on the carpet and I've said, God, give me a good spirit and help people to understand this. I want them to know what I'm saying. I want them to understand that you, when you come, you're unexplainable. You're majestic and you're mighty, and no one will deny that ever. They may deny the person that is coming through, but they'll never deny you. And I just want to be in a right spirit. I agonized over it and I prayed and I quit to church and I resigned and I came back and I resigned and I came back all yesterday. Laugh at me if you want to, but I'm more honest than a lot of you. Our greatest need today is not a bunch of trained talent and great orators. We need a supernatural presence that cannot be labeled, that cannot be defined in the MS5. I'm telling you right now, we need Jesus to fall in this place. I'm going to go way out there on a limb. We need some of you cats that never move and sit in your church pew to start moving and praising. It's time to pray out loud, oh God. It's time to have a revelation and a vision of the Holy Spirit. It's time to speak in tongues. It's time to speak with God. It's time to weep and time to cry. It's time, listen, to eat the carpet. Oh, I've already said that a couple of times, but why do we refuse to? God, hear me now. We got to get involved instead of just having church. I want us to see and hear some strange things today. If you look through the Bible, people try to put it in a box, but there's a lot of strange things that happened in the Word of God. Things that without the writers writing under the inspiration of God, we wouldn't understand. That's what's wrong with the church today. is we think we've explained it all. But you obviously haven't explained it to the sinner, because there's hundreds of them everywhere we go. You know, people say, I hate church people. They want to talk about Jesus all the time. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. And we go, they're going to damnation. Well, yeah, they're sinners. But what happens if I'm in my house and I'm with somebody and they don't know the Lord, and I go out there and I say, I walk out in the yard and there's a big lion and he tries to eat me, and I run back in the house and I close the door. And I go upstairs and they say, what are you doing? I said, nothing. Well, you look like you're sweating and you look like you might have, I'm good, I'm fine. Well, I'm going to run down to the grocery store. Okay, see ya. And they walk out, and I never said nothing about the lion. See, it's not about you. It's about what's coming after them that they don't know about. They're going to ask you why you didn't tell them about the lion coming after them. Well, I didn't. Why do you constantly tell me about Jesus? You know why? Because the lion is coming after you. And it's my job to tell you. Got to have the Holy Spirit on our mind. We've got to have a love affair with Jesus on our. Why do we always got leaving on our mind? Ain't that a song? It's probably Crunchy or something. Why do we always got leaving on our mind instead of Jesus on our mind? If I preach 15 minutes over, you guys are all folding your arms. Except Hayes in the front. He's like, preach on, yes. And then he'll take him a little nap. I know some of you just got mad. But it's a love affair with Jesus. The Church of God don't have to send me letters and say, kiss your wife. I love my wife. She looks good. She's wrapped pretty. She smells good. She kisses good. They don't have to tell me to kiss her. So if you're in a love, you know what the problem is? We're not in a love affair with Jesus. You think I'm kidding? We got the most flashy bunch of ding-dongs. We need our dresses to our ankles. We got to have 14 layers of clothes on. If they don't, we have something to tell them. They're not right. And we stand around, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. And we're dead as a hammer. Well, I live by the book. You can't go here. What book are you not living by? Or are you living by? That book that you created. The one with loose leaf paper in it so you can take it out when you don't like that. Put something else in. Well, we don't wear golf shirts. We don't go golfing. We don't go to the movies. I ain't wearing me a basketball shirt. Don't wear it. I don't care. But we've traded the supernatural for a bunch of ritual. You cannot legislate holiness. It's an experience with God from deep inside your heart. Don't you understand? It's not the natural that causes you to change. It's the supernatural. And if you don't got it, why would you step into religion? I want to be clean. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to be set apart. I want the power of God to drip off me. But there's times I'm a jerk. And I still get myself going. I still get upset. And I still turn bright, fire, and red like the Kool-Aid man. But I want God to move. And I'll do anything it takes to get him to move. I want to change who I am. I'm not good enough, but he is. I'm sorry, I've got to get to my message. We live on, oh, I'm going to preach. We live in a generation that gears and catalogs everything for our five senses. Oh, I'm preaching to you this morning. Touch and taste and smell and see and hear. Can't do that with God. Because God's not physical, he's spiritual. Amen. You can't contact him or govern him with your five senses. It takes faith. I gotta help myself. You know where philosophy comes from? It comes from honest men and women that have stood on the last frontier of revealing knowledge. They want to know the why, the where, and the what for. You're like that. They don't understand to go across the canyon of what has not been revealed. And that they have to step into the presence of God. Or they burn the bridge. They burn the bridge and they step back and they become philosophers. It could be this way. You ever met people like that? They've read all the books. They've highlighted all the statements. We need faith. Faith will take you farther than any worldly dimension that you've ever stepped in. It'll take you to things that are unexplainable. And somehow you'll get an understanding of it. That's why the doctors and the scientists and the technological researchers and all the advances look at you stupid. I went into a room the other day. All these doctors and people, I was going to pray for someone, and they had all these gadgets and all these things, and they're basically saying, well, there's nothing we can do for you anymore. They're doing the best they can. They're not against you. They're just doing what they're told to do. And I walk in and the guy says, well, that's my preacher right there. And I thought, in order to be your preacher, you got to come to church.
Amen.
I didn't say that. I'm not that mean. And I stood there and they said, well, the preacher's here. The preacher ought to be able to do something. And the guy walked past and he said, well, he said, I'm glad you're here because there's not really much left we can do. So the preacher can do it. The preacher can pray. All he's got left is Jesus. And I said, that's enough. The reason that we're in the condition that we're in is because we need gadgets and we need things and we need doctors and we need researchers and we forgot that Jesus is enough. That's why we drive them crazy. They analyze, they test, they get your bone marrow, they draw your blood. Oh, I'm just an old dingy preacher. You stand in there with intellectual giants. I don't have enough sense to stand next to them. All this stuff. I'm just doing the best I can. They're just doing the best they can. Lord, help me. I was praying for a guy the other day. Not long ago. I didn't know him from Adam. I went into the hospital. I was late. It was late. She didn't know me. Someone just asked me to go pray. It was after work. I had to do some things. It was like 8 o'clock. I went into the hospital to pray. She's on dialysis. Why? He is on a dialysis machine. And I just stand there. He's asleep. He don't know that I'm there. I'm standing in the corner. And I'm trying to get my spiritual on, you know. And every demon in hell, listen, hallways in the hospital are not hallways of faith, they're hallways of doubt. And it's hard to get your faith on, you know what I mean? It's hard to lather yourself in God when you're standing in a situation of doubt. And so I got in the room and I realized he was asleep, and I just stood there in the corner for a minute and I said, God, you've got to help me. And all I could think of is such as I have, and I began to cry. Well, all of a sudden this guy wakes up, and it was plain to see that I startled him because he jumped and I was crying, and I said, I just want to pray for you. He broke down crying immediately, and we began to pray. Listen, and I said, such as I have. Listen, it's not mine, it's God's. But such as he gave me, he gave it to me, he gave it to you. And when you step into the presence of God, you can pray and things will happen. 2 days later, the family called me and they said, I don't know what happened, but his kidney's been healed. They took him off dialysis. I didn't stop and pose for a picture. I didn't say, stay there and take autographs, because such as I have, it has nothing to do with me. We need to start acting like such as I have, such as I have, such as I have. When you go to work, such as I have. Listen, you shouldn't treat your people bad, such as I have. You should give them Jesus. Now, I know that they got to do what they're supposed to do, but such as I have, I give to you. Amen. You should love them just like they're yours. Lord, help me, Jesus. I might fool around and preach. Such as I have. Oh, Jesus. EKG machine. I remember when I was standing in that room. I don't know why I'm telling you this, because the story's over, but it was beep. I can remember as I prayed. Beep. 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 And they're saying loser. Doubt. Broken. Beep. Beep. And I remember, the reason I guess I'm telling you this is because when I started to pray, that thing was going beep, 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 beep. You know why? Because God quickly steps in and says, holy, righteous, forgiven, chosen, different, changed, healed, delivered. God help me. I wish you felt like I felt. I want to challenge you. Step into the unexplainable and the undeniable. Does anybody understand me? It's going to take bold courage. It's going to take faith. Well, Pastor, I'm not that way. That's okay. You may not be that way. But just lift your hands where you've never lifted your hands before. Say amen where you've never said amen before. Say praise you, Jesus, where you've never said praise you, Jesus. Maybe you should just holler out hallelujah, because he's mighty, holy, and righteous. It's enough. He's enough. Such as I have. What will attract a crowd? You know, we've tried everything from Jerusalem to Beersheba to get a crowd to come to church. What will attract a crowd? The fire. Yes. If this place was set on fire, we'd have half of MacArthur out there watching to see what was going on. What if our preachers would catch on fire? Yes. You think people would come to see what was going on? Yes. Oh God, we need to catch a blaze. Listen, what if it came off the platform and it wasn't just for our preachers? The Bible said our sons and daughters, it's talking about you. We need baptized in fire. We need the God of Elijah to sit down and just sweep across this place with the supernatural. Not plastic Pentecost. We need Jesus to move. We need God to come in. We need a change. Oh, Pastor, you say the same thing every week. I can miss 3 or 4 weeks. You don't understand. You should be getting something whirling inside your belly that calls you to. That's why I want to be in God's house. That's why I want refreshment for the day, because I'm going into hell on Monday. Keep quiet if you want to. But we're playing the same game that Israel played. They called for the Ark of the Covenant to come into the camp. They did their thing. Now listen, the Bible says they shouted, they screamed, they yelled, they prayed. But God wasn't in the Ark. And God wasn't in what the people were doing in the camp. But they still did their thing. The Philistines were unimpressed. And the Bible says they beat their brains out. Sometimes we suffer because we possess a symbol, but that symbol has no power. But God is speaking to us. I believe he's speaking to you this morning. And I think what a lot of people do is they fold it up and they tuck it in their back pocket. But God has substance. Jesus possesses substance. He possesses power. He possesses might. And you're his people. So you possess power and substance and might. Truth is more than just a doctor and a honey bun. Truth is a person named Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm not an English professor, but that's singular possessive. I had to look it up. We say, I believe the Bible. Then how come we live like idiots? Because you can believe a doctrine and not know deity. You can read the book and not know the author. We've got to know him. Because we could quote scripture all day long and be dead as doornails. Now you asked me to preach, so let me ask you a couple questions. Have we traded our faith for facts? Because that's really how I feel. Are we so concerned with the explanation that we would rather have an explanation than a transformation or a regeneration or a future translation of what God wants to do? Have you ever thought of where you're at in your Christian walk with God? We don't want to offend the thinkers among us. The calculators among us, the wealthy, the successful, the business people among us. And so we bend to their will and we blend in. Oh, that's a good one. Bend and blend. We know people have put rockets on the moon. And if we meet any of them, we change our approach so we can reach the intellectual. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say you had to be smart or educated. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. The only thing you got to be smart about is the word of God. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against him. You know that kind of stuff. I want to read you a couple things. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. I'm going to stop right here anyway. This article has got me all messed up. I want to read it to you. Just a couple of things. It was like 7 pages. I'm going to read you about 3 paragraphs. There are certain phenomena or experiences that defy logic and explanation, but are still undeniably real and true. This could include, and then it lists 16 things. There's about a page for each. I just took a couple that just upset me. Intuition. I added some stuff in here. You'll know the difference. Sometimes people have a strong gut feeling or a sense of knowing something without a logical reason or evidence. They tend to be pushed to the side. This unexplainable intuition often turns out to be accurate, even though it can't be explained. I can explain it. God. G-O-D. Near-death experiences have occurred. Many individuals who have been clinically dead or near death report similar experiences, such as seeing a bright light. And they wrote in parentheses, ooh. Feeling a sense of peace, which is an emotional response, or having an out-of-body experience. These experiences are unexplainable. But the people describe them as really profound. We can't explain it. I can. G-O-D. Amen. Synchronicity is the other one. The occurrence of meaningful coincidences.
that seem to be more than just a random emotion or just a random chance. These events can be unexplainable in terms of cause and effect, but are often seen as significant by the people around. And they're meaningful for the people that experience them. Such as having, I can't make this stuff up, they're writing my message for me. Such as having a problem or experience of loss, or going to the grocery store and someone wanting to speak to you, or in a religious circle, someone that would pray, that would change your outlook. I'm going to stop right here, because I talk about Campbell's grocery store all the time. He's unexplainable and undeniable. Some individuals claim to have ability to communicate or perceive information. In parentheses, this is laughable. Meanings of others' traditional five senses. And then they have an arrow. Such as speaking to God. After it, ha ha ha, LOL. What's going on with that? Because I can tell you I spoke to God. I can tell you that he's changed me. This is what he writes. It's currently unavailable to scientific understanding. And it's undeniable to those who have experienced them. Don't you get it, church? They're trying to downplay everything you call spiritual. They're trying to downplay everything you call holy. They're trying to act like that you can't change who you are because God spoke to you. That it's just an emotion or an undeniable feeling that you get. And everybody gets emotional heebie-jeebies sometimes. And everybody thinks that they've got something going on. But here's what you're not understanding. I don't need education. I don't need any understanding. I don't even need to be able to spell to have Jesus touch me. Listen, all I need is to know that he's my King. And he's my Lord. And he's my Savior most of all. And that he loves me. And listen, in the midst of him loving me, he'll take me places I would never go. I'm telling you, he is unexplainable and he is undeniable. I don't need some doctor to tell me, I don't need some author to tell me or some editor to tell me that there's no God, because God has changed me, healed me, made me whole. In the midst of my struggle, he has helped me. Hallelujah. Someone come and do their thing. We're going to pray. If everybody will stand with me, I got to stop here. You'll be here till 4 o'clock. God, right now. Come on, church. The presence of God is here right now. Lord, right now, I pray, God, that you help.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.